Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Wednesday night service from Encounter Church. I'm Pastor Pat. Great to be with you tonight. I have something to share with you tonight that I believe will bless you and encourage you in the Word of God. And if you have a Bible at home, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight. Maybe it's on your telephone, however you have it. You can turn to the book of Acts right now, and we're going to be sharing some things out of that a little bit tonight. Tonight, my subject is what now? That's a good question. What now? What do I mean by that? What now? Well, we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. And after Easter, many times we look at Easter and it's a one-day event. We celebrate it on that Sunday, Easter Sunday, and we move on to other things and think about other things, and churches continue along the way with certain programs and what have you, which is all great and fine. But when we look at the Word of God, when I ask the question, what now? After Easter, something very specific happened to the early church and the apostles and disciples, and it was called Pentecost. Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. From Easter, we move to Pentecost. We move to resurrection, to the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what I want to talk about with you tonight. What now? From resurrection to the empowering of the Holy Spirit that changed the world and continues to do that right now in Denver, in Colorado, America, and around the world. That event called Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, still happening in our life. God is saying, what now for us? Are we ready for His power? Are we ready to move from Easter into Pentecost in a very powerful, meaningful way in our lives? I know probably all of you that are watching have had at one time in your life the unfortunate event of maybe having your car battery go out. I had that happen this past few months ago when we had a very cold winter streak here in the Denver area, and my battery in the garage happened to just die. And in the death of that battery, I couldn't go anywhere. I went out to start the car, boom, 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 nothing. I thought, well, what is it? You know, we go through all the checklists. What could it be? What could it be? Obviously, my lightning quick intellect said, it's the battery. And so it had no life in it, no power. And so I went to the car, trying to start it because I wanted to go somewhere. I had a destination in mind with my car. But without the power of that battery working, I didn't go anywhere. And see, the power that we all need in our life is the Holy Spirit. We can't let our battery go out because we all have some place to go. Every single one of us in our lives as Christians, we have a destination for that day, that month, that year. God has a purpose and a plan, but we need power. We need our battery to work so that when we hop in that kingdom automobile, we can get in it, get on it, and move forward with what God has for us. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out what happened on that Easter Sunday. So what now? Now we need power. Now we need the Holy Spirit in our life. Acts chapter 1 tells us about this power. Jesus was talking to the apostles. After the resurrection, he was with them. This is a marvelous thought. He was with them for 40 days, pouring into them. This is after Easter Sunday. Teaching them, pouring into them, talking to them. It says about the kingdom of God. But one very important thing he mentioned in verse 8, if you have your Bibles, chapter 1, verse 8, he said this, but you, speaking to us, you apostles, you disciples, you Christians, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall receive the power. The battery is going to have life in it when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's the connection of power with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you will receive power. When, Jesus? When? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When did he come upon the church? On that wonderful day called Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is coming up in May. We're looking at right now the end of April. Next month is the celebration of Pentecost, a celebration of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, changing the globe, changing the lives of people. And Jesus said, when you receive power, that means the Holy Spirit's come upon you. This is a very important point in our lives today, because you and I as believers, we cannot walk this out in our own strength. We cannot win a city. We cannot raise our family the way they need to be. We cannot do what God's called us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. So what now? What now? Easter's gone. We move into Pentecost. We move into where God wants us to go. And three things happened. Well, there's more than three, but I want to bring out to you tonight three areas that I want to kind of dissect a little bit with you of what happened when the Holy Spirit did come on that special day in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where the Holy Spirit fell upon them in the upper room, 120 of them, and man, did the dynamite explode. Did things happen? I mean, they came out of that upper room, and that area of Jerusalem just exploded with people saying, what's going on? What's happening? What are you doing? Are you drunk? What's wrong with you people? They were speaking in tongues. They were preaching the word. Great things were happening. So when the Holy Spirit came, great, powerful moments begin to take place. Three things that happened in the first instance when we look at Pentecost. There is an impartation that happens when we talk about Pentecost. There's an imparting of the Holy Spirit into our life. There's an imparting of a promise that was fulfilled. See, God promised us the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I thought Jesus promised it. Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures. I asked you to have your Bibles ready. Chapter 2, verse 33. It says in verse 33, chapter 2, therefore, having been exalted, this is Peter preaching, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you now see and hear. The promise of the Holy Spirit was given by the Father and was released to us through what Jesus Christ accomplished on that resurrection morning. When he was raised from the dead, that was the green light from the Father. Now's the time for the promise of the Holy Spirit to be sent out to people, to the world, to nations, for the body of Christ to have that power in our life to live out this resurrected life. There is an impartation, beloved, that comes to us from the Father as a promise that he was going to send the Holy Spirit and fulfilled to us by the power of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. And that impartation is freely given. Many other places you can see that word promise. Luke chapter 24, 29, Jesus in that gospel mentioned that to wait for and to receive the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. Have you received the promise of the Father? That impartation that is freely given to you who have received Christ, have you received the impartation of that promise? Because it will change your life and it will bring you into a walk in Christ with great clarity and anointing and power, given for all, given to all, not just the 12 apostles. There were 120 people in the upper room at that outpouring. It wasn't just 12, and it spread to so many. How many? A lot, hundreds and thousands. So number one, there's an impartation that happens. Number two, there's a transformation that takes place. When we're talking about what now, the power of the Holy Spirit that's imparted to us, now that power transforms us. There's a transformation from being ordinary to being extraordinary, from being naturally bound to walking in supernatural abundance, from earthly living to kingdom living. There's a transformation that takes place. You know, you look at just the apostles. We've all heard the example of the apostles, how they went from hiding behind locked doors. And in John chapter 20, it says they were literally hiding because of fear. because of fear behind a locked door, because they were afraid they too would be arrested. But they were transformed when that moment came of the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and they moved from fear to faith. They moved from a locked door to an open world. They moved from hindering the gospel from going out to freely proclaiming it to all who would hear and all who would listen. The word of God needs to be transferred, transmitted, preached, given out. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us do that. There is an impartation that comes with him from the promise of God. There is a transformation that comes when he comes into our life. And we all have those examples, if you've experienced it. I have my own from years back. That transformational power that comes into our life and moves us to places you wouldn't go otherwise, to say things you wouldn't say otherwise, to minister to people you wouldn't minister to otherwise, and to walk in areas you would not walk in otherwise without that transformational power that happens in your life. The fullness, the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What now, beloved? What now since Easter do we need? We need the Holy Spirit. That's number two, transformation. Number three is ramifications. I want to share with you briefly about the ramifications of when the Holy Spirit came. And we see this in Acts. I mean, there's many places you can look at this, but in Acts chapter 1 through chapter 5, I just want to highlight some points of that area of ramifications of that transformation. Ramification, simple definition of ramification, a consequence of an action or an event. Consequences of an action or event. So I'm talking to you tonight, today, whenever you watch this, of the consequence of the event of Pentecost. What were the ramifications? What were the signs that it happened and that things were no longer the same? Chapter 1 through chapter 5 highlight a few points. I'm just going to share these with you. You can read these on your own in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 5 and see for yourself. The first one is 3,000 people were saved in the first preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and 3. And then it says 5,000 men, it says men, there were also women, but 5,000 were saved after they healed the man at the Gate Beautiful. 5,000 were saved when Peter preached there. So a combination of 8,000 people plus who knows how many others were saved and empowered by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had come. Salvation occurs where God shows up. Salvation happens where the Holy Spirit is free to reign. When you and I allow God to use our lives, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and flow through us, people can be born again. And many, many were born again in that moment of the book of Acts. Salvation happens. Number two, what also happens? Powerful preaching. Peter went from being a fisherman to being a great preacher. All the other apostles and other believers, Stephen, who got stoned later in the book of Acts, and others who faced great opposition, preached with great power. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to have a doctorate in Bible. You don't have to have a degree. It's good if you go to school and learn. All of that's great. But you don't need education necessarily. You need an infilling of the Holy Spirit that will empower your words, anoint your tongue, and give you a boldness to preach. The Holy Spirit, when he shows up, there's boldness in preaching. Peter preached boldly, and boldly he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was changed. Back to that word transformation. He was transformed, and the ramification of that were thousands were saved because of powerful preaching. The third point is that religious systems can be shaken when the Holy Spirit is awakened. Religious systems can be shaken when the Holy Spirit is awakened in a person's life or in a church. See, religious systems or religions that don't want God to be free in their lives try to contain it, hold it, bind it up. Peter and John in the book of Acts shook up the system because of the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus shook up religious systems because of the power of the Holy Spirit in him and on him. That doesn't mean God doesn't love religious systems. God's reaching all people, all men, everywhere. But you cannot be bound up with a religion and walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. God wants us free so that we can follow him and obey him. There's a place for church structure and church discipline and leadership, obviously, and necessary, but not to the point where it binds up what God's wanting to do in your life with the Holy Spirit. When he showed up, religious systems begin to cower and power begin to flow. The fourth thing is there were many healings, signs, and wonders. Many people healed, many people saved. It says that the people were in awe of the signs and wonders flowing from the apostles in Acts chapter 3. When the Holy Spirit shows up, you and I can stand in faith for healing and for breakthroughs and deliverance. God wants you free. God wants you healed. God wants you to walk in a place of liberty bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When he shows up, people can get healed. When he shows up, families can be delivered. Children can be set free. Teenagers can get off of whatever habits might be being developed. Addictions can be broken. Fears can be cast out. And demon spirits can be driven out. The power of the Holy Spirit, when he walks in the door, look out, things can happen. The other point is the love of God changed lives. God showed up in the Holy Spirit, and his love exploded in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, chapter 1 through chapter 5. To the point, now listen, this is so important, that the love of God exploding in the lives of these people after the Holy Spirit came, they begin to sell their own property to take care of one another. They begin to care for each other, love each other, feed each other, clothe each other. They begin to not just think about themselves. They begin to think about other people. That's an awakening, beloved, because the world is very, very much controlled by a self-centeredness, and it's me and no one else kind of thinking. But when God's love shows up through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives are changed. People are willing to help and assist and give, lay down their life, so to speak, so that others can advance in this life. The love of God transformed these people. They went from selfishness to self-giving. They went from hoarding to giving. They began to sell and give and serve and help. And it became a huge thing in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 5 and 6. Please read that and see how the Holy Spirit influences the generosity in our lives conveyed through the love of God to other people. You can be used of God in these things so that you can touch a life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And one last thing I want to share is the holiness and righteousness that exploded because of this incoming of the Holy Spirit, this invasion from heaven of the Holy Spirit. When the kingdom invaded earth, the Holy Spirit invaded earth man, and things began to be turned upside down. Part of that was the holiness and righteousness that was shown forth in that movement and has been shining ever since. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is righteous, and he creates in us a holiness and a righteousness that's demonstrated so that we're not just running around pushing people around in the Holy Spirit. We're serving them, walking in a holy lifestyle, walking in the righteousness of God so that it is a light that shines to other people. This holiness and righteousness is a gift. It's a gift in Christ. It's a gift in the Holy Spirit, and it lives in us that are born again. And we can release that, and we can understand that, and it can impact other people's lives. So tonight, I want you to understand what I'm talking about is the subject, of course. My question was at the beginning, what now? What now since Easter? Let's not just wait for Easter next year. What about now? What are we going to do now that Easter is over? Let's move into Pentecost. Let's move into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's move into the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's watch God change our lives so that we can change the world, or change a home, change a neighborhood, change a business. Beloved, God loves you. God wants the best for you. He doesn't want you waiting around for something to happen. He's waiting for you to approach Him and invite Him to touch your life tonight. God is wanting Pentecost, not just in the month of May. He's wanting it in your life, my life, every day of our life. So tonight, as we draw this subject to a close, I want to invite you to receive that. If you've never, well, first of all, I'm going to ask if you've never been born again or accepted Christ, please do that right now. Just invite Him into your life. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, become my Lord and my God. Just say that to Him. He is waiting for you to come to Him. He's drawing you tonight. Jesus, save me. And if you have done that, or if you've just done it, the next step is then just say, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I have His power to walk out the power of God in this world, so that I'm not living this on my own, not doing this on my own. Holy Spirit, fill me. Come into my life now. Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Just say that. Just receive Him. Just believe Him. And let that happen in your life, in your home, wherever you are. I've heard so many testimonies of Jesus baptizing people in the Holy Spirit in all kinds of places, at all kinds of times and day and night. He can do that for you right now. Receive Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit. So what now? Let's move forward. Let's go out with the power of God and let's live our Christian life empowered by Him to demonstrate Jesus Christ to where we are, where we live, and who we're in touch with. God loves you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.